Our topic and our theme this morning is you belong here. Now, where's here? Well, part of here is the seat you're sitting in. Part of here is a local church. Part of here is the Church of Christ worldwide. Part of here is Jesus himself. You belong here. You know, in our life, there's a lot of things that sometimes we look at and we enjoy, and we're so glad that things belong together. You know, one of the best things that belongs together is peanut butter and jam. I don't know who first thought of it, but it's wonderful. Peanut butter and jam on fresh bread. I was a teenage boy and my brother was a teenager, and my mother used to be so frustrated because she'd cook dinner, and back in those days we'd all wait for dad to come home, and then all six of us would sit, have dinner together practically every night of our lives. And then dinner was over, and as they were cleaning up, my brother and I would go and make a peanut butter and jam sandwich. And my mother would say, "Why do I bother?" And I found out it really bothered her, so we'd wait a half hour and have it as a snack later. Peanut butter and jam. Speaking of that, peanut butter and chocolate. I mean, come on, chocolate makes everything better, doesn't it? Fish and chips. They belong together. If you're getting hungry, good. No. Some of you might just like simple bread and butter. Bread and butter were made to go together. Another thing that belongs together is eggs and bacon. Huh? Eggs and bacon? Come on, doesn't bacon make everything better too? You know, these are things that belong together. Speaking of eggs and bacon is so good, but there's probably a few things that bacon doesn't pair well with. You know, these things all belong together, but here's some things that I think don't belong together. Bacon air freshener. Bacon air freshener. Bacon air. They don't go together. Oh, it gets better. You know when you're out on the beach and you're lying in the sun and you just figure, I have a hunkering for bacon. So let me grab my bacon lip balm. Because I just want that taste of bacon in my mouth. Yeah. Maybe some things that don't belong together. This one's actually probably not so bad, but Baconaise. You've heard of mayonnaise? Here's Baconaise. You can have that. It just doesn't go good with your peanut butter and jam. Baconaise. This one does not. You might love bacon, but I have a hard time with this next one. Bacon toothpaste. For that nice, fresh feeling. Now, some of you might go for this. This next one, I think my son David might like. It's bacon ice cream. Bacon ice cream. Maybe Pastor Paul would go for that one too. Okay, these things don't really belong. Ever feel like you didn't belong? Have you ever walked into a room and suddenly you walk into this room and you go, I don't belong here. I'm uncomfortable. I'm uneasy. You might even have an invitation to be there, but you get there and you just feel like you don't belong. Maybe you've come to Highway this morning and you feel like you don't belong. If that's the case, I apologize, because it's never our intention to make you feel like you don't belong. I believe we all belong. We all belong here. Or maybe you're here this morning because somebody invited you. Somebody dragged you. You felt dragged. Well, it's okay. You can feel dragged. Doesn't mean you are dragged. Maybe you come to church and church is a little bit of an unknown. Like, what's with all this music and hands in the air? And like, you know, I just figure we show up 45 minutes, we'd be done, and off to lunch we go. And we'll give you lunch today too, so relax. We can't let you away yet because it's not ready. So just sit, chill. We'll be good. But maybe you've walked into a place where you don't feel like you've ever belonged. But I want you to know this morning that in this place you could always or should always feel like you belong. You belong here. We belong here. We need to belong here. I want to share with you a story in the Bible of a young man who at the beginning wasn't quite sure where he belonged. He wasn't even sure if he belonged anywhere. It's not a well-known story. I mean, some of you have come across this story, and some of you have maybe never heard of this guy. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, we read this story. It says, David asked, that's King David. King David is the king of Israel. David asked, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? I'm going to read this story and then we're going to break it down and look at some truths that we're going to find here this morning. Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Sarah, they told me they were popping balloons, not to worry. So if you're worried, they're popping balloons. At least I think that's what they told me. What a way to interrupt my story, huh? But I know you were all wondering, what is that? So let me back that up a line. Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. That's an important thing. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, he is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar. So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. You ready for this? When Mephibosheth. Can you say that? Mephibosheth. Don't look at it. Say it. Mephibosheth. Aren't you glad your parents didn't name you Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth. See? How many of you ever dreamed of being named Mephibosheth? When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him. Remember those words, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, David said to him, but I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Now, why this story? Because you see, you belong here. Just like Mephibosheth belonged in King David's home. You belong here. Now, let me give you some background to Mephibosheth and King David and Jonathan and Saul, because they're all mentioned here. And so David is the current king of Israel at this time. But before David, there was a king named Saul. And they were the first two kings of Israel. And in the course of time, King Saul displeased God, and God said to him, because of your sin and because you haven't followed me, I'm going to cut your family off from the line of the throne. We all have an idea how monarchies work, right? There's a king or a queen, and their bloodlines run through, and you know, when one dies, the next one in succession takes over from them, right? So, but God was going to change that. You know, normally King Saul's son would be Jonathan, so after Saul would die, Jonathan would be the next king, and then Jonathan's son would be the next one, and so on and so forth. But God said to King Saul, because of your sin, because you've ignored what I've told you, I'm going to remove the throne from your family. I'm going to give it to another. And at that point, God had picked David to be the next king of Israel, even though he wasn't in the bloodline of Saul. Now, in the course of time, David's best friend was a guy named Jonathan. And Jonathan was Saul's son. So think about that. Jonathan and David are best friends. And Jonathan knows that he's not going to be the next king, but this guy, David, is going to be his king. And Jonathan has a son. And Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King Saul. So this guy, Mephibosheth, would have normally, traditionally, been in line for the throne of Israel. In the course of time, King Saul does die. Actually, he dies in a battle. He dies in a battle with his son Jonathan and his other sons. And they all die in battle. And the next day, David is really the king of Israel. And a period of years goes by between that Saul's death and Jonathan's death and the time we read the story. A few years have gone by. And in the middle of that, I need to bring you to another part of the story. Remember, I told you to remember that Mephibosheth got crippled feet. So what was customary in that time is when a king was conquered, and King Saul was conquered because the Philistines killed him. When a king, a monarch was conquered, the conquering kingdom would go in and totally destroy the lineage of that king. They would go in, and there's a practical, it's not a great reason, but to the conqueror, it's practical. I want to make sure that nobody in the bloodline of that king could rise up to one day be king. And so when news that Saul and Jonathan and the others had died in battle reached home, remember, Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son, King Saul's grandson. He has got all the riches of the monarchy. He's got all the riches of being in the family of the king. He's got a nurse. He's about 5 years old. And the Bible tells us a few chapters earlier that when the nurse heard that Saul and Jonathan died, she grabbed Mephibosheth and prepared to flee with him. Why? Because she thinks the Philistines are coming to kill him. I am the nurse in charge of his well-being. I will take him and flee. And they were running to hide. But we're told that she accidentally dropped him. And when she dropped him, his feet became crippled. So think about poor Mephibosheth. In one day, he went from being heir to the throne to being a cripple, poor orphan. His bloodline is gone. His father's gone. His uncles are gone. His grandfather's gone. Now, there's still all the mums around, so he's not really an orphan. But in one day, he lost everything. He lost his family, he lost his health, and he lost his wealth. In one quick motion. So now we come a few years later, David is king and he's been setting up his kingdom and his kingdom is rolling well. And one day he calls over his servants. And David inquires about Jonathan's family, about King Saul's family. Remember, David and Jonathan are best friends. I mean, they are best friends. I mean, they are, if you look in the Bible, they are the example of what true and loyal friendship is. And even though it's been a few years since his best friend Jonathan has perished in battle, David still wants to honor the memory of his friend. And David inquires, he says, is there anybody in Saul's household who I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? That's how critical that friendship was to them. And he's told there's this kid, Mephibosheth, who's probably a young man by this time. But, you know, he's Jonathan's son. I mean, David's ears must have perked up. Oh, it's Jonathan's son. Oh, it's Jonathan's son. And so David sends for him. And Mephibosheth comes before the king. And you had that picture. I said, remember these words, don't be afraid. Jonathan's son Mephibosheth comes, and he comes into the presence of the king and he bows. And David says, don't be afraid. See, because Mephibosheth knows, will he kill me to end the bloodline? Maybe that's why Mephibosheth has been in the background all this time, you know, out of sight, out of mind. The king has summoned me. You know, is it over? I'm the last of the bloodline of the king of Saul of Israel. And David's first words to him, don't be afraid. You know, sometimes when we're going through something, those are the first words that our spirit needs to hear from God. When you're facing a hard place, when you're facing a difficult situation, when you're faced with a fork in the road, you don't know which way to go. Sometimes you got to hold on to those words from God that say, don't be afraid. David says, don't be afraid. And David begins to show him kindness. David says, all of the fortune, all of the land, all of the estate that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, I'm reinstating to you. It will now be yours. It'll now be your children's. It'll be your grandchildren's. It'll be your great-grandchildren's. All the fortune that was King Saul's is being returned to you for the sake of my friend Jonathan. I return all that to you. What does this mean? It means that his family's got financial blessings that's going to take him into their futures. They're never going to be poor again. They're going to get what was once theirs is going to be restored back to them. He's restoring their heritage. See, the heritage had been cut off in battle. The fathers and the grandfather had died in battle. It was the end of the line. But it was about to be restored to them anew. And then David goes a step further. He said Mephibosheth would always eat at the king's table. I mean, that's the place of honor. I mean, that's the place where David's intimate family would gather. That's where the place of David's intimate friends could gather. But it's not like I'm going to invite you to a banquet. I'm inviting you to the king's table every day of your life. You're never going to need to worry where your next meal is coming from. And you're never going to have to cook it or clean the dishes. You show up and you eat and you move on. I will take care of you for the rest of your life. David is restoring honor and heritage and wealth back to Mephibosheth and his descendants. Now, why this story? You belong here. When Mephibosheth first came before the king and he bowed before him, he bowed in fear. I don't belong here. I might die here. He might speak death over me. But David said, Mephibosheth, you belong here. I restore your rights. I restore your heritage. I restore your wealth. I restore what belongs to you. You belong here. You will always eat at my table. So there's a couple of things as we look at this story that I just want to pull from this morning. And I want to pull them in such a way that hopefully you don't forget them. And so the first thing we notice, I mean, I've already laid the groundwork, so it should be easy now, is David showed love to Mephibosheth. He showed him love. He didn't know him. He didn't owe him anything naturally. But he loved him because his father, Jonathan, had been his best friend in life. His father, Jonathan, had been like a brother to him, even closer than a brother. He wanted to show kindness for the sake of Jonathan, his father. And he extends the way he felt for Jonathan, whom he knew, he extends that same feeling, and then some, for Mephibosheth. And David is showing us and teaching us this simple truth that we are to love people for who they are, not for what they have done or not what they could do for you. You could add to that. Sometimes we want to love people for what they could do for us. But David says, you know, Mephibosheth, you're crippled. You can't do anything for me. But I will extend love to you for the sake of your father and for the sake of what's right. We need to love people for who they are, not for what they have done. It also shows us that we need to be careful that we don't judge people. So many times, we don't think we do, but we do. So many times, we like to judge a book by its cover. Only sometimes we find out the cover on the outside is not what reveals what's on the inside. We have to stop judging people. If you're here this morning and you've never been here, I want you to know that we accept you for who you are because Jesus accepts you for who you are. How do I know that? I'm so glad you asked. Because Jesus said this in John chapter 13. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. We love because Jesus loved us. Jesus set the standard of what love is. It's a high bar. Jesus said to love each other the way he loves us. We're to love each other the way he loves us. How did Jesus love you? He came to this world. He taught us about the Father, and then he died on a cross. But the best part of that story is he doesn't stay on the cross. He rises from the dead. And Jesus said, I loved you enough to die on the cross for you. Love each other the way I have loved you. That's dangerous thinking. That's some strong words. That might be hard to walk in sometimes. You know, when you want to give somebody a smart answer, you might have to say, I wonder how Jesus would handle this. You know, when the guy cuts you off on the road and you think you have a few choice words for him, Jesus might say, I don't know if I'd use those words. Jesus set a bar for us to love others the way he loves you. Romans 12 says this, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. It's kind of tough words. We're supposed to be devoted to one another. Devoted. David was devoted to Jonathan. That devotion to Jonathan spilled out into devotion to Mephibosheth. honor one another above yourselves. See, David showed love to Mephibosheth. David showed honor to Mephibosheth. David honored Mephibosheth. David realized that the honor of his heritage had disappeared. When the battle ended and Jonathan and Saul were dead, it almost was like everything stopped in Mephibosheth's life. All the wealth, all the comfort was gone. His health was gone. He became crippled that day for the rest of his life. He was probably living in a place of poverty or near poverty because he was a cripple. And that's the way it was in that society at that time. No social network like we're used to and blessed with. And here is Mephibosheth, forgotten for years. But when David realizes it, he brings him to the court and he restores honor to him. And David shows us that we need to value the needs of others more than our own. I mean, David could have lived comfortably the rest of his life. It didn't matter to him. David had everything he needed and then some. I mean, David was king. And that time, a king was a king. Like, the king didn't like you. He could look at you and say, that one there, take them away, throw them in jail. I don't like their look. David wasn't like that, but the king had that kind of power, that kind of authority. But instead of just living in his authority, he looked for a way to honor somebody else. He valued the needs of others more than his own. Now, it's not always easy to do this. It takes sacrifice to do this. David himself had to cut off land that was probably part of the king of Israel's land and give it back to the family of Saul. Now you say, well, that didn't hurt him that much. I mean, he had so much more. He probably did, but he still gave up what was his to return it to a place of honor. Another thing David shows us is that he showed hospitality to Mephibosheth. David said, come and eat at the king's table. All the days of your life you will be well cared for. All the days of your life will be taken care of. It's an announcement to the people around David. It's not just for Mephibosheth to have meals. It's more than that. He brought him to a place where he said to his household, he said to those in his court that this young man named Mephibosheth is a man of honor and is a man who's going to be cared for. He is the man that we are going to show hospitality to. We're going to take care of all of his needs. He's saying to Mephibosheth, you are the son of my best friend, but from this moment on, you're my son. That takes it to another level. You're not just a young man I'm going to care for. You are now going to be treated as one of my own. One of my own. See, that's what happens when you come into relationship with God. God says, you're no longer just a stranger outside my house. You are now one of my children. And you're going to eat at my table. I'm announcing to the world that you are my son or you are my daughter. And you are to be treated like a son or a daughter. David is showing us that we need to unconditionally accept others and help them feel at home. Because that's what David did. He brought him into his home. So how can you show people that they belong in your life? Love them for who they are. Just love them for who they are. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know her baggage. I got news for you. Are you ready for this? You've all got baggage. I've got baggage. Hit your neighbor gently. Hit your neighbor gently. I'm watching. Come on. Half of you aren't listening to me. Hit your neighbor gently. Remind them they have baggage. Wait, wait, wait now. Turn back and say, you have baggage too. How? We love them for who they are. You can't judge them. Until you die for them, you can't judge them. And if you die for them, you won't be able to judge them. So, how do we show people that they belong here? We value their needs above our own. That's a little uncomfortable, Pastor. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, come on. I just came to church to feel good this morning. Yeah, you can feel good. But it always feels better to know what's right. People are welcome when you accept them unconditionally. Here's the hard part we have with life. We like people, most of us, most of the time, not everybody, but most people. And we want to accept them, but we, you know, want them to clean up a little bit. You know? But Jesus didn't say, you know, when you're cleaned up, I'll talk to you. Jesus didn't say, when you got your act together, come see me. Jesus said, in a nutshell, Jesus said, you're so messed up, you need my help. Amen. Jesus said, you're so messed up, if you come to me, I'll help you clean your mess. Sometimes we think, you know, I'll just come to Jesus and he'll fix everything. No, Jesus said, I will give you the strength to fix things. And I will give you my spirit to empower you. We've all made that mistake. I think we all have. Like, okay, God, here I am, fix it. We accept people. David said to Mephibosheth, come and sit at my table. Jesus is inviting all of you this morning to come and sit at his table. You belong here. Amen. You may think that your life is a wasteland, or you may think that you have so much baggage that you can't possibly bring it to Jesus. But Jesus says, bring it all to me because you belong here. You may feel like you have nothing to give Jesus. Jesus said, all I want is you. I don't need anything else because you belong here. You may feel that you're unworthy of God's kindness and love. You may feel that you've messed up so much in the past. You may feel that there's so much history and water under the bridge. Jesus said, I don't care about your past. I only want to give you a new future. God says, I don't care what your mistakes were. I have the ability to erase them. God says, I don't care what you may think about yourself in the past. I want you to know that you belong here. Jesus says to all of us, you belong here. Earlier we said some things just don't belong together, like bacon and toothpaste. But I want you to know that Jesus says the opposite. You belong here. Jesus wants you to get to know him. Jesus wants to reveal who he is to you. That I want you to know that you and Jesus belong together. You're better than peanut butter and jam. You and Jesus belong here. You belong here. if you have nowhere to go, if you've never gone to church, if you're in need of a place of faith, then you belong here. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we've looked at an unusual story this morning. It's found in your word. You've spoken some simplistic things to us and showed us. And you're reminding us that we belong here. And that we belong with Jesus. So Father, today I ask that you would help us to always remember the name of Mephibosheth. That you would always cause us to remember what David did for him. That when we think of that story, that we're reminded that we are to love each other. That we're to value one another. That we're to put other people's needs ahead of our own. That we're to accept people unconditionally. Because you accepted us unconditionally. You loved us with a love that we did not deserve. You brought value into our lives when at times we didn't deserve it. That you covered us in your grace and in your mercy. And Jesus, you said, the way I love you, love others. So Lord, help us to hold up your standard. Help us to live by your word. Help us to live the way you want us to live, the way you tell us to live. Help us to love others the way you loved us. And we'll give you the glory and the honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.